Well, good morning and welcome to Reston Bible Church. My name is Jim Supp and I'm one of the pastors on our staff team here. We are glad that you are here. And if you're online, we're especially glad that you've chosen to be with us today. We are in the middle of a series entitled All Things New, Living as a Child of God. I want to do a little bit of review. So the first 2 weeks, Pastor Minner talked about the identity, our identity in Christ. What does it mean to put our identity there? We have so many options and things that are trying to pull us in a direction to gain our identity in a lot of things other than Jesus. We talked about our identity in Christ. That was week one. Week two, we talked about with this new identity, now we are under a new authority, that's Jesus, with a new purpose, that is to impact others with the message of Jesus Christ. So that was our first 2 weeks. Then we kind of transitioned into understanding what it means for all things to be new, living as a child of God, under our mission, which is to know Christ and to make him known, and then fleshing that out in four core areas. The first 2 weeks, we talked about gathering in biblical community. And then for 2 weeks, Pastor Mike Myers talked about what it means to grow in our walk with Christ. We need to give back with our time, our talents, and our treasure, and then go into the world with the message of Jesus Christ. And so, as we consider today, we're going to build off of the gather and the grow, and today we are going to talk about what it means to give. And what we mean by this is it's our desire that each of us would give back to the body of Christ with our time, our talents, and our treasure. So we're kind of transitioning from the G's to the T's. You kind of see that, how that's working? All right. So we're giving back with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Treasure is obvious what that means with our resources. Time and talent go hand in hand, which is where we're going to start today. When you provide back into the community the skills and the talents that God has given you, well, some things happen, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We established a couple of weeks ago that each part, every single one, has a critical role in the body of Christ, that God decides where each of us fits. God empowers as we seek to be a part of this complex organism that is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Every single person is an integral part of the body of Christ. No one gets a pass. No one says, "I don't matter," because each one does. There's several passages that talk about the body, that talk about spiritual gifting and so forth. One of them is Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly," and our focus today is each part working properly, "makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." In the economy of God, there is no such thing as the rugged individualism that we see as an integral part of our culture here. The first century knew nothing of that. The interconnectedness, the importance of community that we talked about several weeks ago is their picture. And fast forwarding to now, we have to grasp the significance of each part doing its work. Giving back to the body of Christ is predicated on the idea that we were designed for community. Our world, as you know, has never been more isolated. There have never been more factors contributing to isolation in any time in history than right now. And many of us have suffered greatly as a result of this isolation. And it is our desire that you and me, all of us together, that we would work together to understand what does it mean to truly be the body? How do we navigate that? And we can't go back and reestablish what we talked about a few weeks ago on the foundation and the critical nature of community. I hope that if you miss that, you'll go back and listen to those messages online. You know, one of the things that we're going to be doing in the next several weeks, something that's kind of taking shape and it's being refined, is a booklet. And the booklet is called All Things New, Living as a Child of God, that kind of continues to unpack some of the things that we're talking about in our gather, grow, give, and go. And a section that speaks specifically about this giving back in this booklet, this is what it says. It says, when we serve as a small group leader in children or youth ministry, join the host team, sort food for the food pantry, teach English to new immigrants, spend time with a brother or sister who needs comfort or encouragement, counsel a coworker or neighbor, or visit the elderly, we are giving to God of the time and relational gifts he has given to us. When we use our skills in IT, construction, administration, counseling, arts, music, medicine, gardening, teaching, law, or whatever skills and abilities God has given to us to serve the church and to advance the kingdom of God in our community and around the world, we are giving back to God of the gifts and talents he has given to us. Time and talent are valuable commodities and an important part of the virtue of giving. And the whole focus of today is to encourage you, implore you, to sort through, if you have not, what it is that God has called you to do in the body of Christ. See, it's easy for us as a body to look at someone like me. Oh, you know, pastors like Pastor Jim, they're called in ministry. Well, and I believe I am called. But it's important for all of us to understand that you, whatever God has asked you to do, is no less of a calling in the body of Christ than how God has called me to contribute to the body of Christ. The scriptures are clear. All do not have the same function. Oh, but we cannot function apart from one another. That's God's call. Colossians 3, as we Bruce introduced us to at the beginning of the service, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You see, John 15 tells us that as we connect to the root, as we abide in the root, that we are going to bear fruit, and that the goal of life in this world is to know Christ and to make him known, but that to the end is that we would bear fruit. You and me, we are designed, called by God to bear fruit. But see, we have a problem. We live in a culture that has taught us that kind of we're the center of our own little universe, that we are recipients, we are spectators. And that's not how the body of Christ works. How do people choose a church? They usually come to church and they have a variety of things that they're looking for. They're looking for worship that they enjoy and teaching that they enjoy. And that's good. I don't want you to go to a church where the worship is bad and the teaching is bad. Who wants to do that? The question isn't simply that. The question is, when we gather, do we gather with the idea that all are contributors? And my hope is, as we move forward together, that each week when we walk through the door, that we all come together to contribute to worshiping God, because what we're going to see is that everything that we do is worship. Everything that we do is worship. So we're going to talk about four things, four foundational theological underpinnings to the notion of giving back to the body. Four theological underpinnings about what it means and why we ought to give back to the body. So here we go. By giving back to the body of Christ, number one, we imitate our God. We imitate our God. You and me, we are created in the image of God. We reflect him. In God, in all of his three parts, one but three, each manifest a significant element of giving. And when we give, we imitate God in that. Well, God the Father is the consummate giver. God the Father is the consummate giver. In the scriptures, it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God doesn't change. God, as part of his nature, gives It's just what he does. Matthew 7 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God delights in giving. He pours out as part of his nature. And when we give back, we reflect God the Father. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Why? Because he gives wisdom. That's what he does. He loves to do it, to equip you and empower you for whatever is at hand that needs wisdom. And of course, the most well-known and significant verse in all of the Bible that illustrates the incredible, the magnitude of God's giving as the consummate giver is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The word gave, well, it means what you think it means. It's to give or to grant. But more than that, this word means to sacrifice or relinquish. That's the flavor. God is a sacrificial God. He gives of himself. And we ought to give of ourselves, of what he has given us uniquely in the body of Christ, each and every one built and designed to contribute to his glory. You know, we are the capstone of God's creation. Yes, yes, yes. Animals, they care to a degree. You know, when somebody's doing something to your children, what do? You become the mama bear, right? Okay. Yes, there's a certain level of care that's provided in the animal kingdom that is instinctual. But it's only human beings that evidence and can evidence the magnitude of sacrificial giving and relinquishing of ourselves for the sake of others in reflection to God himself. You know, one of my great challenges to the evolutionary thinking, the thinking of evolution, is that if human beings have so risen to the pinnacle of the evolutionary chain, why are our young so helpless for so long? I mean, the least evolved that you are in the process, the more independent you are from birth in this process. I mean, turtles, they lay their eggs. They never even see their offspring. And then every mammals across the board are able to move and walk and eat within hours of birth. And if you're a parent, you know what it is to give. To give and give and give. And you thought that when you launched them out of your house into adulthood that you would do less giving. But you're not. Because baked in to the design of the human that is a reflection of God's image is giving. And God did this on purpose. So that we would give and we would reflect God. Not only do we imitate God the Father, but God the Son, Jesus Christ, models powerful giving in his journey each and every day. Mark 10 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The world, many people around the world believe in Jesus who don't claim him as Savior, and they talk about all the wonderful things that he did and his great teaching and the example that he left and all of this. But Jesus came to do one thing, and it was to lay down his life, to give that one thing. And Jesus's life, every minute of it, was wrapped up in giving. I think of the woman in Luke chapter 8 who had the issue of bleeding for more than a decade, and she just crawled up and touched the hem of his clothes. Jesus didn't even consciously do this, and he was giving, and she was healed. I remember Jesus weeping at Lazarus' tomb in John 11, where he gave by bringing his friend back. I think of how Jesus humiliated himself by getting down on his knees and washing the disciples' feet, the lowest of the lowest job in the first century. I think of Jesus as he stood before thousands on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, the greatest sermon of all time, where he just gave and poured out truth, revolutionary truth. And then, of course, he laid down his life. And how many times in the Gospels does it say, and he had compassion on them, and he had compassion on him, and he had compassion on her. So what did he do? He gave to them. You see, in giving back, we imitate God. Just like the Father who gives, the Son who gives, and the Holy Spirit who gives. The Holy Spirit gives to us powerfully. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I have to leave because something better is happening. I'm going to give you a new comforter, a new advocate. And this is going to be a whole different program because it's better for you that the Holy Spirit comes. John 14, it says, Jesus said, and I will ask the Father and he will give. There it is. The Father's going to give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I love Romans chapter 8. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. If there's not a chapter in the Bible that you read, read this one over and over and over again because it speaks of significant realities of our relationship with God and how we stand with him and what he does for us. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I don't know how that works. But in our moments of agony and struggle, there's this interplay between us and the Holy Spirit and this whole dynamic within the Godhead where the Spirit is working on our behalf, giving to us what we need to manage through the challenges of our lives. In January, when I assume my new role as senior teaching pastor, one of the things we're going to do early on in the year is I'm going to take a Sunday, I'm just going to tell you my story. So, you know, my testimony, how I came to know Christ and, you know, all that kind of stuff and some of the backstory on how God has brought me to this point today. But most of you already know that at different times in my journey, I've had some challenges, one of them being that of some anxiety and depression. And I remember, I call it affectionately the crash of 2010. And it was the fall of 2010. It was October. I had a six-week sabbatical. I was just coming off of three incredible weeks. We went to Disney. We did all the stuff that you're supposed to do, like traveled around. We had a great time. And then in the middle of that 6 weeks, I started experiencing major panic attacks. I woke up in the middle of the night with a panic attack. And most of you know that I'd been in psychiatric healthcare for a decade, and I'd worked with many people struggling with a variety of things. And I had no idea what was happening to me. Ironically enough. And the doctor said, oh, you're having a panic attack. I'm like, no. She's like, mm-hmm, yeah, you are. And the way people who loved me were Jesus with skin on to me changed my life. My wife, of course. The executive pastor of our church, who was my boss and close friend, who said, no problem. We're going to get through this together. My best friend who came over and slept on the floor in our house and said, if you wake up in the middle of the night with a panic attack, I want you to wake me up so that we can pray together. And he said, and don't wake up with a panic attack and not wake me up because you don't want to wake me up. I didn't come all this way to sleep on your floor to get a good night's sleep. And when we give, when we contribute to the body of Christ, because we are made in the image of God, we reflect the giving nature of God in all three of his persons. By giving back to the body of Christ, number one, we imitate God. By giving back to the body of Christ, number two, we worship God. We worship God. You understand that everything that we do is worship. Everything that we do is worship. Every behavior, every thought glorifies something or someone. You can glorify God with all of those things. You can glorify yourself with all of those things. And in some measure, you can glorify our enemy by doing the things that he is tempting you to do. You know, when I have significant questions and I want a quick answer, I want a one-page, solid, biblical answer to my question. I go to a website that you ought to know and be familiar with. It's called gotquestions.org. And in a 15-year period, I've rarely disagreed. There's been a couple times where I'm like, I don't know. But overwhelmingly, it's like, yes, that's a good answer. So when you email me and you say, Pastor Jim, can you explain to me what supralapsarianism is? I go, yeah, supralapsarian. Yeah, I remember studying that 30 years ago in seminary. What the super? And I go, gotquestions.org, supralapsarian. And then 10 minutes, I get back with a solid answer, and you're like, he's a genius. But you can be a genius too. Just go to gotquestions.org and ask your question, and you'll get the one-page answer. Gotquestions.org says that true worship is the acknowledgement of God in all his power and glory in everything we do. That's worship. That's a good definition. If everything that we do acknowledges God in all of his power and glory, we are worshiping him. And if we do something that doesn't honor God, doesn't acknowledge God in all of his glory and power, we are worshiping something else. It's as simple as that. Romans 12 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your, here it is, spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Back to God questions. The reference to our bodies in this passage means all our human faculties, all of our humanness, our hearts, our minds, our hands, our thoughts, our attitudes, everything about us are to be presented to God. In other words, we are to give up control of all these things and turn them over to him, just as a literal sacrifice was given totally to God on the altar. When you take everything that you think and do and say and you align it with what is honoring to God, you are worshiping him by doing so. And when you give back, it's worship. When you serve, it's worship. When you sign up for first fruits and go rake leaves, which is connected to no particular spiritual gift, by the way, you worship God. Back to our verse from the top of the hour. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Why? Because it's worship, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. John 15 again says that you were designed to bear fruit. By giving back to the body of Christ, number one, we imitate God. By giving back to the body of Christ, number two, we worship God. By giving back to the body of Christ, number three, we build into the body of Christ. I don't watch a lot of TV. I watch a couple of different news outlets and so forth, and invariably it seems like whenever I'm watching, I see one of these commercials. It's either for Tunnel to Towers or Wounded Warriors. We see these men who have come back from the battle, and overwhelmingly they're trying to find, get them a home that works for them, that accommodates their struggles, and overwhelmingly they are missing one or more limbs from battle. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it would be like to navigate daily living without all the parts that God designed for you to have in daily living? I've had two shoulder surgeries, one on each side, not at the same time, fortunately. And getting dressed with an immobilized arm, it's really hard. It's hard. And most of us take that for granted every day. And when you think that through, you recognize how the body of Christ is hindered when all the parts aren't contributing to the end of what's best for the whole body. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were at Liberty University with our daughter to go to do a college for a weekend, and we had the opportunity that day to hear in the convocation from a gentleman by the name of Nick Vujicic. Nick has a website called Life Without Limbs. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He has no arms and no legs. His ability to move around that stage, I was enamored. And here this man with no arms and no legs, just a trunk and a head, who loves Jesus, and talking about how God is using him. He jokes that if you looked him up online, you can see a beautiful picture of him and his wife, and I think they have three kids. He jokes about how his five-year-old is taller than him. And you're like, what? Oh my goodness. Life without limbs, can you imagine? And yet how often is the body of Christ trying to move through life together, honoring God with so many non-contributing parts? And how much the non-contributing part misses, and how much the whole body is hindered without their participation. Can I just say that each and every single person within the sound of my voice today is a critical, important part of what God is doing. Please don't think that you can blend in and not be a part and it not be noticed. Oh, your name may not be noticed and your particular presence may not be noticed, but we feel it. And can I tell you this? I'm not a prophet, never claimed to be, but it doesn't take much as we look in the current cultural context to see where certain things are going. Life is getting harder in a lot of ways. I'm praying for a revival and for some turning a corner on a few things here. But I believe that in the church, those who are playing church are going to not play so much because I think it's going to be harder. And I think the true church is going to be purified in some ways. And we are going to need each other more than we've ever needed each other before. And I hope you're in. I hope you're all in with whatever God has called you to do. The longest passage in the New Testament specifically related to everything we're talking about is found in 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to read a good chunk of it because I believe every verse is paramount. And I can't unpack every element of this, but take it all in as we read. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 12, it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit." We all participate. We got one Holy Spirit, and we're all together in it. "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" And we spend so much time admiring other parts of the body and forgetting the fact that we are just as essential. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose." This is up to God. "If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So we are one body and many parts. Again, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Where do you fit? What has God called you to do? We are all different, but we are all essential. You see, we can't disqualify others, but neither can we disqualify ourselves. Verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But verse 15 says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not make it any less a part of the body. So if you're sitting here today and you're saying, I don't know if I matter. I don't know if I matter. That is the enemy speaking to you. Because the Bible is clear. All matter. Everyone. Everyone. And when you contribute back, you build in to the maturity of Christ and the body. Again, it's easy to look at someone in a high profile upfront position and go, you know, that person really matters to the body. And we see someone like an usher or a greeter as kind of like an entry level position in the body of Christ. I want to counter that. I want to counter that. You know, on many Sunday mornings, and some of you may have experienced this, maybe even today, how difficult it was to get out of the house. You know, it's amazing how many fights happen on Sunday morning. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how hard it is to get your children out of the house on a Sunday morning over against any other day of the week? It just seems to happen that way. And by the time we get to church, no one really wants to be here anyway. But what do? We do what we do, which is we put on the happy face and we walk in like this family. It's like, be on your best behavior when we walk through that front door. What if as you were walking through the parking lot attendant said, whoa, lady, hey, can just watch where you're going. Don't you see this car coming? How would that be for you? How would that get your experience off? And then you come to the front door and there's a greeter standing there, but the greeter is more interested in what's happening on Facebook on their phone than greeting you. And then what would happen if you came into the Quest area and the person at the Quest desk was scattered and inattentive to you, and you had five kids trying to figure out which rooms I'm supposed to go in. By the time you got into this room, what kind of place would you be in? Would you be ready to worship God? Would you be ready to hear from His word? But what if the smile on the parking attendant's face and the care that you received was just like Jesus standing there? And what if the person greeting at the door greeted you and looked you in the eye and said, we are so glad that you're here today. And what if the person at the Quest desk did an exceptional job because they were giving back in their God-given calling to make sure your children were hand-placed in just the right classroom and receive the care that they were supposed to receive. And then you made it into this room here. Just maybe you'd forget about the fight that you had on the way to church. Because when we all give back, we build into the body of Christ. We are all enhanced. And I love what Dale said on her testimony today before her baptism. I'm still useful to God at the age of 82. And if you believe anything other than I am useful to God, that thought is not from God. It's not from God because you are useful to God. Because He designed it to be that way. Giving back to the body of Christ, by giving back to the body of Christ, we imitate God. By giving back to the body of Christ, we worship God. By giving back to the body of Christ, we build into the body of Christ. And fourth and finally, by giving back to the body of Christ, we find personal fulfillment. Now, personal fulfillment gets a bad rap because it can be very selfish. Seeking personal fulfillment is not an end goal, it's a result. When we do things that God wants us to do, when we participate the way we're supposed to participate, fulfillment isn't a bad thing. As human beings, we desire fulfillment. We desire meaning. We want to do something that makes a difference. That's not in and of itself a bad thing. It's not necessarily the best pursuit and can be sinful, but when it is a result of obeying God, it's a wonderful thing. Ephesians 2, 8 and through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship," here it is, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We love Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Many of you have memorized those two verses, that we don't receive salvation by anything but grace, that works do not contribute to that. Oh, but do you see where works fit? Do you see where doing things for Christ fits? Once we have received salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone, then we got a job to do. Then we get to fulfill the commissioning that God has called us to do, that which he has prepared in advance from the beginning of time for us to do. And as we crave meaning in life and we pursue Christ first, then he has the capacity and the willingness to commission us to do things that make us go, yes. Have you ever had that experience where you engaged in something and God showed up and you walked away and you were so blessed? And you knew that it was the Spirit at work. It wasn't your own efforts, but you and the Holy Spirit, cooperatively, if you will, were working together and God did something really cool. And I can tell you, there is absolutely no greater fulfillment in life than believing that in certain areas of life, you are God's instrument for his glory. And that's a good thing. Philippians says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Oh, we're supposed to work. But it's him working through us that creates the movement forward into what we are supposed to do. 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete." Here it is, equipped for every good work. You have a call on your life. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you what it is. The body of Christ, just like the human body, is far too complicated for me to be able to assess exactly how that works for everyone. But it is incumbent upon each of us to be willing to engage God in this. Because by giving back to the body of Christ, we imitate God. By giving back to the body of Christ, we worship God. By giving back to the body of Christ, we build into the body of Christ. And by giving back to the body of Christ, we find our personal fulfillment in this journey of life. So what does this mean? What is the next step? I want to challenge you. If you've never thought about how God has wired you, how God has gifted you, the spiritual gifts that he's given to you, the natural talents that he's given to you, the passions that he's given to you, the skills that you've built over the course of your life, if you've never considered how those God wishes to weave together for his purposes in the body, I want to challenge you today to do that. Some steps are very simple. You could go to the internet and just go to Google and type in spiritual gift assessment. About the third one down is from Lifeway. You can take a spiritual gifts assessment this afternoon. It's not perfect. It's not going to give you perfect direction, but it'll give you some insight into you. You can email Mike Myers this afternoon and say, "Hey, Pastor Mike, when is the next ETS class, the next Equipping the Saints class that's called One Body, Many Parts?" And I hope that hundreds of you do that, and that when he gets back from his trip this afternoon, because he has no idea what's going on here this morning, that he has hundreds of emails that are looking for this class, and he's like, "What did that Jim Supp say in church today?" Romans 12 is one of the other passages that talks about this whole idea of the body and gifts. It says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others." We belong to each other, and our culture wants to tear us apart and is doing a good job of it. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You are a critical part of the body of Christ. I don't know how else to say it other than that. And all of us need all of us to do the work that God has called us to do, to build each other up and then impact the world for Jesus. And my hope today is as you walk out of here, that in your spirit, you're saying back to God, I'm in. Lord, help me know what it is that I should be about. And if you're here today or online, and if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've never come to the point where you've entered into a relationship with Him, where you have said, I'm a sinner. I can't do this life on my own. I can't gain God's favor on my own. I've never exchanged my sin for the righteousness of Christ. Then to try to implement anything that we're talking about just becomes a process of works and checkboxes. But if you put a relationship with Jesus first as the foundation of your life and access into a relationship with the living God and into eternity, then becoming a part of the us, the body, and sorting through how God wants you to contribute is available to you. And I want to urge you, if you've never done business with God, if you've never given your life to Jesus and accepted His Lordship in your life, that you would do it today. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather. Thank you for what it is that you have done, that you've expressed to us through your word, that you've given to us in the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, what you have created in the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that every single one of us would take seriously not just the call to gather and to grow, but to give back, to be a functioning part of the body in our time, our talents, and our treasure for your glory. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. May you build up the body here at Reston Bible Church for your honor and your glory. We pray in your name. Amen.